Greetings, in the name of the Most High. Yes, well, a little bit longer form here. I'm, you know, happy you like the Substack. I like it too. I've been following Kaneda over there. And it's very good for the quick writing, very good for a quick podcast, like 5 minutes. But then some things need, you know, a little more. And, you know, also call for a live interaction. So I don't know if you guys are still tuned into this like you were before, but here's your, you know, here's your wake-up call. You know, never before have there been, you know, and this is a pretty much a true statement, has there been, you know, up till now, a plan for mass genocide, for the extinction of the human race brought on by the global elites. It's funny, and I learned more about it as I look back through history, and I look back through certain key points. I mean, didn't I realize this? And I think I did realize it, because I was very depressed throughout my life and saw behind the veil a bunch of times the kinds of people that really were in charge of everything. You know what I mean? It wasn't, you got to take the good with the bad, because there really wasn't any good. There was no good amongst them, or very little. And I just wonder, had we been in mass denial for so long? Because, you know, this is not the first time that, you know, we have been, you know, for example, as a people, we've been poisoned. We've been experimented on. We've had ineffective vaccines already several times. We've had dangerous vaccines with side effects. We've had bad medicine. We've had bad advice. We've had a horrible cancer, terrible, ineffective cancer program that has killed more people than it's saved over a long period of time, where people just, they might have been able to have some kind of a quality of life after chemo or whatever, but it's, you know, it had been, you know, a real struggle for the majority. Plus, a lot of the drugs did not help to cure cancer. They already had the cure. They wouldn't give the cure out, you know, the antiviral cures, because of the fact that they needed patients to be rich. And this is Big Pharma. So we've been under the scourge of Big Pharma all our lives. So when you're thinking, you know, this is so unprecedented, people have been being killed, there have been death rates, and there have been death rates due to governments getting the population numbers down to where it gets down to, what is it now, about 75 years old on average, and they're trying to push it down further, you know, where we have the capability under good conditions to live on into our 80s, 90s, 100 even. And, you know, just this constant war, this constant hatred of us. And you'd think, well, they ought to just tell us to either get rid of us, or maybe, you know, just have like a voluntary euthanasia, since they're going to be bringing out the big bioweapons, you know, the next round anyway. And since they're going to do that and not relent, I don't believe they will relent. You know, I think if you survive, God will help you to survive. But, you know, it wouldn't be something you could just rely on, because they intend to, you know, they intend to kill every one of us. And for me, I personally feel like this has been not a surprise, because it never was, because I reported on this very thing, the extermination of the human race, back in the 2000s. So, I mean, I already knew what they wanted. And people would laugh at me. Oh, my God, they'd laugh. Oh, you know, it's not that bad. And they always would wonder, well, you know, you're the kind of guy they would choose to be like a leader or somebody. Why didn't you play ball? And it was just because I knew that the end game is murder. I told you guys that in the beginning. And also, I'm against the murder of children, the sacrifice of children, for the purpose of satanic power, for these few elites who are just going to use their power to steal from the poor, to steal from the middle class and lavish themselves and then turn around and kill you for it. To me, I don't really want to associate with that kind of person, but those are the presidents. That's the Bush family. That's the, you know, those are the Rockefellers. That's the, you know, the, that's the, you know, the Schwabs, the WEF. That's the, those are those families. That's the attitude they have, that antipathy toward the common man. And of course, what you find out in the beginning is there's a great antipathy toward any, you know, child that won't comply with pedophilia, with putting out for the adults. That's like, you know what? People make a big deal of that. I've got to say it. We didn't, I guess we weren't strong enough. You know, I stand on my record the last 20 years. I stand on my record. I probably won't do that many more of these kinds of podcasts because it takes a lot out of you. But, you know, it seems that there's, you know, the Substack maybe is faster. And let's have you guys decide, you know, what do you guys think? You know, do you like, I like hanging out here and really being able to develop ideas, really be able to say it, to say my piece. But I'm very willing for the sense for the, I don't know, do we all have things we have to go do? Yes. Are there pressing things we must accomplish upon this earth? oh God, would I love to have seen the rise of anything if there was a human being alive who would stand up to it. Well, I think there'd be a lot of people who would follow, but people have been so beaten down. There are no more human beings really with backbone or anything. There's a few that squawk, but they're not going to pick up arms and go, you know, revolt and have a revolution. They're not going to do that. They'll talk on the air. They'll tell you they're going to kill you all. They'll tell you to go get shelter, go get some food. But are they going to take up arms against this illegal government, which is, what it really is this. These people with their power that they got from you have used that power to rape and pillage and kill and murder you all of you, every last one of you. And I just find that, I just can't stand that thought. And I couldn't stand it when I was a child. I can't stand it now. And the assault on children is the reason that the nation is in judgment by the Almighty. So where's God? Well, God is here. He's put America under judgment. Now, we can go through the whole prophetic record if you like. America, you know, being revealed as Babylon the Great, does play into the book of Revelation, and, you know, Revelation 18, the fall of Babylon, and Revelation 19 would be the return of Christ. So what we have is the end of the system, and they're trying to break the system and, you know, break the financial system of the United States and all that. If you want to know where your murderers are, they're in Hawaii. Okay, I just want to let you know, I'm going to be very frank. I'm going to really try to help you here. If you would like to know where they are, they're in Hawaii. Okay? They've moved there. Hey, I thought about going to Hawaii, like Kawaii or somewhere I can get some land, ride it out. So they're over there riding out. Zuckerberg's there. You got Big Tech is all there. All the entertainment billionaires are there. So all the the guys that are, you know, with the New World Order, with Klaus Schwab, ultra-left politics, the whole bit, they're trying to re-terraform the earth into a satanic playground. They're riding it out in Hawaii, hoping they don't get caught. But Revelation 6 tells me God's not done yet. They will get caught. However, as far as where they are now, they are free flowing. They got food. There will be no food crisis in Hawaii, most likely, because the food supply chains come from Asia. So as far as switching from one system of capitalism to another form of markets, you know, they could switch to the Chinese form of markets and be under the auspices of the Chinese while they're riding it out in Hawaii. Like I said, they will have plenty of everything. That if you don't, if you're worried about that, you can move to Hawaii yourself. There'll be everything. You will be plentiful. Most likely. Well, gas is high, but I mean, you know, getting around in these islands, it's not that they're very small. You know, so most people will have their needs. The billionaires don't care if the gas is $10 a gallon. Come on. They don't care. Okay. So they're going to have what they need to survive, where the rest of the country will, you know, most likely be under lockdowns and starvation as a, you know, the starvation is kind of like, how dare you rise up against us? See how you like this. Ha ha. And they actually laugh, and they kind of, like Gates, he giggles on TV what they're going to do to you, and they laugh, and they get all excited, and they watch you suffer. And this gets them sexually excited. But anyway, they love to hear about it. So, the you know, you see them on TV. They love to lock you down and have you suffer, especially if you're going to starve to death, or, hey, especially if your children are going to die before you. That's a real treat for them. And now you're starting to get an idea, okay, so they're that evil. Yes, they're once they're given over, they go all the way to anything opposite of normal is what's normal for them. So laughing as your children die in your arms while they're acting like, oh, here's some baby formula. Now, they did that baby formula on purpose because that gets them happy. That makes them happy. That's what gives them a thrill. You know, they love that. And once you start to understand that, then you can start, you know, making moves ahead. But you can't make moves if you keep thinking at some point a conscience is going to kick in. I'm waiting for God's intervention here, but I think you'll realize that Zeph, the seer. Oh, there's, yeah. Well, things since they launched the monkeypox, I'm going to catch up with Elon Musk pretty soon and see where that's going to go. I have a feeling that there's others that will be spotlighted, but there's some reason. There's some reason I've been looking back through the past, and we've been watching a special about Marilyn Monroe by one of the researchers that really tried to get to the bottom of everything. He didn't really get to the bottom of it. He did talk to a few people, but it totally reminded me. I mean, that L.A., Beverly Hills, you know, the Grauman's Theater, you know, premieres, the whole Marilyn, you know, hype. All that stuff, just, you know, the restaurants, the clothing, the whole thing just really, you know, triggered a lot of memories. And it was like, I remember now that I had, I was all alone. I was writing something on this big, it was a big, it was like an art book. I'd be writing on it, you know, a fiction about Marilyn Monroe. I'd been on some kind of journey, and I wrote to her late husband, Arthur Miller, the you know, famous playwright who married her. And he wrote me back, and he told me he wanted to read more of what I was writing, and I was really thinking, well, what was I writing? And I thought last night as I was seeing this Marilyn, highly recommended if you want to watch it. I mean, it's not as comprehensive as I would have liked about the involvement with the Kennedys and how that led eventually to her, you know, death. And who, you know, I haven't really finished the whole thing, so I got to finish to see what doctors they had and, you know, the whole thing. There was, You know, I'm not sure they completely captured it right, but they certainly captured the atmosphere of Los Angeles at that time. And, you know, in the gay community in L.A., you know, they just love Marilyn because that's their icon. You know what I mean? So there's this, you can't talk to them about anything because they have this, like, weird projection version of their mothers being Marilyn or them being their mothers in Marilyn. It's weird. So forget about that. I mean, I was looking for more answers. I didn't really get any from Arthur Miller, but he just wanted to know where I was going, and where I was is I was in the future. I keep going to the future with Marilyn. I was in the future, and there was a revolution. I'm always in the future. There's always a revolution. And society is breaking down. And Marilyn is somehow there. And she's got some relationship with this photographer going. And, you know, I guess based on her photographer, what was it, Sidney Greenfield or somebody like that. Anyway, I'm just having a little bit of trouble remembering, but it was more like the society of L.A. was breaking down. And then you realize that Marilyn, in and out of her relationships, also went in and out of mental hospitals, and not just one, like they had the documentary, a few. And some of this was at the coercion of the studio system. I think she was under contract with 20th Century Fox. I just don't, yeah, you know, you Marilyn aficionados will correct me if I'm wrong, but the head of the Fox studios, the doctor, was also my friends with my family, but also functioned as our family doctor, Dr. Siegel. And he knew something. He told me some things about her, about you know, the end. And I never saw his name really brought up. I'm not bringing it up. I'm not accusing him of anything. Just he's long since dead. But I mean, I'm not, you know, trying to attack the Siegel family or anything like that. I'm just saying there's a lot more to the death than meets the eye in terms of, you know, this was the guy running the, you know, he would certainly know, if anyone would know, the head doctor of 20th Century Fox would know, you know, how she ended up, you know, OD'd. And also with the mental hospitals, you have to realize there's some for that she went to, they said it was a rehab. It wasn't rehab. She was thankful that she didn't become psychotic like her friends did, who were also abused, you know, and assaulted as children. Sound familiar? Okay, so yes. And she went in and out of foster care, and you know, and you know, she had several men she had been dating, and tells them all she loves them because she's trying to use their money to propel her into stardom, as if stardom itself would fix the crippled person that was abused. And let's be honest. Let's go back to 2 years old, as a 2 year old, as a 3 year old, as a 4 year old. And thank God she didn't become psychotic like they did. Can you imagine the kids today, if they were allowed to grow up, what level of suicides or and everything else you would have from the kids that have been messed with by their teachers today? In other words, abused. So the abuse angle was never explored enough for me, because I believe that's the key to her. You know, John Huston, the famous Hollywood director and, you know, writer, say what you will about him, he was in that position of power out there. And you know, they all were amazed at her inner gifts. He said, well, she may not be the best actress, but what comes out of her is truth. which I think was a very astute observation. He was very astute. This guy's a really a genius, Houston. Yeah, they actually had the right guy and the right job back in those days. But he was able to spot that. And a lot of people have made almost a career out of trying to understand this fractured little girl that was inside Marilyn. And, you know, it's kind of easy to say, I suppose, that she was abused. It'd be easy to say. But when it comes to the subject of abuse, she was part of a, generational satanic ritual abuse is what was not discussed. It was just sexual abuse without the satanic ritual aspect being mentioned. Folks, anytime there's children being abused, either in a group or, these group homes and different things, it's satanic ritual abuse because those are rituals. They don't label them and put little pentagrams on things and always light candles and make people wear robes, make all the kids wear robes and stuff. It just is a ritual, okay? Just trust me on that. Satan is their god. He's the god of this world. He is the god of this world. He's not just in command of this world. He is the god of this world. So they don't need to say, this is a ritual. Okay, boys and girls, put your ritual costumes on. Okay, now let's abuse this person. That's satanic ritual abuse. No need. It can happen in the classroom, at the wherever you've had your demonic gang stalking, as according to my friend Tom, who's no longer with us. What was that guy's name, Tom? He lived in Burbank, Trish. No, Tom, you remember. Tom, he was a listener of the Zeph Report. You know, Tom, that you went and met with him, but he was afraid to meet me.
Oh, yeah.
I think you met him at Priscilla's.
Yeah.
And he was afraid to meet me.
Yeah.
He died. I know he died. He's dead. He would tell me that they'd have some kind of a ritual going in a restaurant in Burbank, and then the whole restaurant would be taken over by the actual ritual in which there would be a victim. And then when it was, no one was the wiser. It's just like, you know what I mean? There's no investigation, no nothing, just, things like that. I'm like, of course, a party. Any occasion, but it's demarcated by the fact that the demonic aspect, which also corrupts time and space. Very important to understand that, and people's visages, people who they are, takes over, and then turns it into a ritual for the benefit of these demons, because all the people are on the demon side. Usually reserved, of course, for. Obviously, generational, this is generational problem. That it's just in family every generation. There's this, and there has always been, the pimping out of the toddlers for sex. And especially if people are poor, this is a constant practice, a constant problem, say, Albuquerque, New Mexico. You don't have to go down to Mexico to find this. Saw a Liam Neeson movie last night called, what was it called? What?
Memory.
And it's all about, it had a big ritual abuse, child abuse theme in it. Amazing. Hollywood finally does one. And it was, it wasn't bad. It was talking about generational abuse and it had, a girl being pimped out by her father, and then, this guy was a headman and various people whacking each other. But it all had to do with abuse. Interesting. Similar to the Stallone movie. Stallone had one. that had to do with abuse, but they didn't, you know, really lay it out. The abuse is the center thing. You know, for the abuse is the main thing, not fentanyl. Abuse is the moneymaker, not fentanyl. Abuse is how all politicians are run, not fentanyl. They think if you ever find out what they've done to you and how widespread it is, you'll never, you know, and who told you, look, was I your friend or what? I risked my life and limb to tell you what was going on 20 years ago. I my testimony about it all hasn't changed one bit. You know, I told you, this is the way it is. But there's a big component of a demonic component that takes over too. And, you know, also involves the gang stalking and all that as both a way in and a way to protect it. And that means people who were not there before popping out into the atmosphere. You know, people that are not there suddenly becoming there and then disappearing. Okay? Now, that's another big part of it that scares people. And that's why they go psychotic, Marilyn was saying. They go psychotic because if you even see something like that, it could drive you psychotic. Let alone be stalked by it and be gang stalked by it. To be targeted by this group. They figure, they take bets, they bet. How long do you think that one will last? 2 weeks. Okay, I'll give it 3 weeks. They bet. They think it's funny. They think, oh, you spoiled brat. Here's a path for you. You could have made it. You know, I don't think hurting children's a good idea. Well, it was right there offered to you, so you know, screw you. Is everyone on that path? Everyone is on that path. Everyone in Hollywood is on that path. So Disney is trying to normalize it. They're trying to make it okay for everybody to be out in the open with it. And now comes, you know, our documentary on society. On a little sliver of the story about the writing of the screenplay of a cult hit, you know, under duress, under psychological duress as I was under at that time, and denial of reality and in an artificial environment provided by years of trauma-based, you know, abuse. They call it behavioral modification programming. But it was a little more painful than that sounds. Let's just say my life was canceled. Because I had a problem with hurting children. Doesn't seem fair, does it? To have the entire... your like entire adolescence and, you know, and pre-adolescence, you know, just gone. You try jumping back into society after being separated like that. See if you could fit in. Most people just commit suicide because they can't handle it because of all the lies. Are you? Yes. We're all into it. You're all into it. We're all into it. And you're targeted. And we're taking bets to see how long you're going to last. Because we find it to be amusing. We think that you people that think that life is like Leave It to Beaver, we think you're hilarious. So is that the way? Well, that's the way it was in Marilyn's day. all the kids that she grew up with in these foster homes, you know, they went psychotic. She was very grateful that she didn't go psychotic. Because, well, here we go again. Oh, you sound much better now.
You do. Here's some water.
Man. Yeah. Well,
here's some water.
Yeah. So I took it upon myself to remember the times. I'm going to start writing this up in the sub about what I was writing to Arthur Miller, and he gave me approval. What I should have done is kept writing him. I wrote him, I think, on the same day that I was down at Marilyn Monroe's crypt in the Westwood mortuary. Yeah, it's in Westwood. It's on Wilshire Boulevard. And you can walk in there. I don't know if it's still there. I mean, I think Wilshire. It's somewhere in Westwood. Anyway, I remember being there because I remember there was a co patient of mine that was admitted to what was then called the Westwood Hospital, was a private psychiatric hospital for to give kids shock treatments and not have to report it. Well, you know, it is what it is. And there was this girl there that's, you know, that was admitted. And her father was a famous psychiatrist, Dr. Janoff. And he wrote a book called The Primal Scream. You might remember that from not long ago, so long ago. So people fantasized. When she came in into this sort of locked ward area called ICU. You know, I guess it was a psychiatric ICU. Locked. And she was catatonic. And then I used to love telling this story. I've probably heard it a few times over the years. But I had, you know, we were allowed to have some record. There were records in the day room. They called it the day room. And they had a little record player. And they had Leonard Skinner, the original vinyl of, you know, that had Freebird on it. You know, the original, you know, Sweet Home Alabama and all that. And so we put on Freebird because some of us were fantasizing if we ever get out of here, we'd like to join a rock and roll band. And what a horrible place this was. You see, these private places they have, you know what I mean? They're kind of off the books. There really is no record. They can do whatever they want to you in there. And they do. Anyway, so whenever that fast guitar part would come, you know, free, you know, gonna fly, free bird, yeah, and then it goes into the guitar solo, right? And then right when it goes into the guitar solo, she jumps up and she starts dancing around the room wildly, just very good dancer, you know, very talented person. And I remember a couple of times, you know, I mean, I just found that to be fascinating. And so then, you know, the record got banned, so you couldn't play it. Now, what do you suppose happened to her? Eventually, her house burned down, believe it or not, later on, about maybe 4 years after that. And she burnt down in her house. She burnt down with it. She was under contract with Disney. You remember Walt? Sure. Hello, Mr. Disney. Isn't this something? Los Angeles. Wow. And She had actually produced a song. She had one song where she sang. I think it's there's even a song on YouTube. Her name was Ellen Janoff. And her crypt was like a couple over from Maryland's, you know what I mean? In the same, like their crypts, like you know what I mean? You have a place in a wall where they put your casket goes into the wall, you know what I mean? So that's where Maryland is. And I was, you know, and then of course there was the future and Arthur wanted, you know, I was just, I think I was completely out of my mind when I was writing, probably somewhat psychotic in a way. It certainly read that way. Maybe I wasn't. Maybe it was me trying to stay sane. But now I realize looking back and after, you know, last night looking at this documentary and seeing all these places and seeing L.A. as it really was. Tarantino almost nailed it in his, but not by a long shot. He didn't have the vibe of L.A. He's too in love with L.A. and he's, I guess he's delusional, but that's okay. People like that are delusional are encouraged to go live it up, do whatever they're going to do. They put a good face on everything. They make everything seem all right. I'll bet you he doesn't know the plug's about to be pulled. The court jesters on TV, they laugh. I think we're going to kill him to do that. They laugh. But folks, if it does go down, and I'm not, you know, I hope to God there's some kind of reprieve. But if not, try to get around people that are worlders. Try to get yourself into an area where they're really freaked out, where they're just waking up, but they've been evil to you your whole life. And then just get the popcorn and enjoy the show. Act like Elijah over the prophets of Baal. Take your popcorn and enjoy the show. At last. The shoe's on the other foot, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. The shoe's on the other foot. I don't care if I die. I'm with my Father. I'm already dead, but I'm already alive. You see what I mean? I'm eternal. You can't kill me. Even if you did, you know, put one in my head, I would just wake up in another life somewhere else or, you know, in the kingdom or here or there. Who knows what it would be like, but I've seen that too where we have parallel lives going on. We just wake up there in the next life and we just keep going. Are you sure about that? Well, I'm sure it's not sitting around in heaven all bored playing harps. I know that. Besides, heaven just means up. Out. All. The firmament. Anyway, wouldn't worry about it. Wouldn't worry about it. But when they figure out it's all real, I remember when Neil Young was shooting his mouth off yet again. He was really kind of feeling he was feeling his ego oats. Yeah, Neil. Great job, Neil, buddy. And he wrote a song called Sugar Mountain about people that don't really want to grow up and don't really want to smell the coffee and don't want to really get the way the world is, you know what I mean? So they live on Sugar Mountain with the barkers, the dogs, you know. They like to call people that don't get what's going on dogs. It's one of their famous traditions or for non-Satanists. Let's call it what it is, Satanist. Get it through your head, Neil. Satanist. You got it? Say it after me. Satanist. Now you can have a little pudding, okay, baby? And so now Neil, after acting all big and tough with that big grow-up song, Sugar Mountain, which he's making... some kind of plea for all, everyone to. It's not sad, really, because I don't think death is sad, really. I mean, it's sad for the people that left behind all that, but it's not really sad, you know, in and of itself. So here's Neil writing this song, and I remember, the reason I remember it was torturing me, it was because they were playing this song over and over and making sure I would hear this song, and my, you know, as time was running out and I was slated for sacrifice and I was, you know, being handled and, you know, by people. And I remember that song was going. And I knew that one day, you know, people like that, and there were many of them who thought they were so worldly wise when they're absolute dolts. I knew one day he would eat every word while he bled out. He would eat every word because he'd realize that the real truth of growing up here is not to acknowledge Satan as the god of this world, so therefore comply, which is what he was pushing. That's how he made it, you know. He's compliant. Then he probably had some dalliances with, you know, a bunch of unsavory people, like everybody else. But here's the thing. In the end, he was wrong. Just like those people that you know that have been mocking you, you walk with the Most High God. See, I go through this every day. I go through this today. They look at me and they go, how could you have gotten through the last 20 years? How is it you keep surviving through this? I say, well, the Most High God and my brother and I, I'm waiting for God to just, you know, there's all kinds of things that God has put in me to use in these times. My purpose is these times. My purpose is this time. My purpose is now. It's now. Now, 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 as Charles said. Now, now, now. That's my purpose. I was made for this. You know, the initials I had to have were Z-E. What's Z-E-D? It means the end. What, the end of me? No, not the end of me. I never end. End of this. Whatever this is. And so real growing up, the real complainers and whiners and screamers, well beyond the barkers, are those who figure out that they didn't quite have it right. They didn't quite get all the way through the information. They never really understood what was required, what was the purpose of this life. They never really understood what it was all about, not running around, winning at pinball and stuffing your face. They never got that. They never realized the Most High God is a person, the creator. Satan is a god, yes, and also a person created by God. Period. Meaning, the overall plan, and that is when we're here, when we're gone, whatever's going to happen, is in God's hands, and it has been already preordained, already pre-written. Before you were even born, it was already written what would happen to you and me and all of it. Nothing here is a surprise to the Most High God. But all the people that felt they were worldly wise, and I'm sorry, you know, a lot of you pagans were on such an ego trip and so mean and cruel. You know how many suicides are accorded to you when you made people feel bad and kids that were pure arts feel bad because they weren't like on the same page you were on, they killed themselves. You know how much blood is on your hands, people? Well, you're about to find out. You see, there's going to be a time. and you're not going to like it. That time is going to be, you got about 5 minutes to live, son. You look around the room. Of course you want to freak out. You had kids. You set them up. Made sure they all had educations. Made sure they all became doctors and lawyers. Made sure they were going to go on with their families. Now you got a bunch of little grandkids, which are all going to be dead. And you're going to start to understand. You reap what you sow. If you sow to the, you know, appointed liar of this world, Satan, then don't be surprised if you lose your loved ones and yourself. Because there will be a day like that called a day of reckoning. It's a day of vengeance. It's a day of the fall of Babylon. It's a day of the economic collapse. It's a day of preceding the great feast of God, which is the great death where most of the people on earth end up dead. It's when the people realize that we're so worldly and they were so clocked into all their magic and all their fortune telling and everything else they were involved in, where the whole thing goes bluey. Every single thing gets wrecked, and now they're in the crosshairs. Now they got 5 minutes to figure out what to do, say, or think before the lights go out, baby. And they're going out. Whatever you're going to do in that 5 minutes, you know, don't be surprised if a bunch of people gather around you with their popcorn to watch. Perhaps it's a little bit of vengeance of what you did to them. You understand? You did a lot to harm people, and you don't even know it because it's your system, because you're shielded by your system. You don't have to carry the guilt of that. But in that last 5 minutes of your life, you're going to carry all the guilt of that, because it's going to occur to you what happened. And when it occurs to you what happened, you're going to get an accurate download of exactly how you harmed humanity itself and even caused its death. You caused the end of humanity, not the children of the Most High God. Got it? Just like the people that did not get vaccinated did not cause the spread of COVID at all. People with herd immunity and so forth did not cause any spread of COVID. The vaccinated caused the spread of COVID because they put out spike proteins which infected other people that had their immune systems down from the nanotechnology used in the mRNA experimental gene therapy drug. Period. End of story. And now even that's occurring to you now. You're starting to get that one now. How self-righteous you were, going around saying you were jabbed and the unjabbed should be thrown in concentration camps, was it? Is that what you wanted? Now, the compliant will go first. God's children will not die at the end of it. The last people on the earth will not be Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab will end up losing his life. But he's being used to bring an end to all this for his God, the devil, Satan, Lucifer. And he feels that, you know, this is his reward is to go transhuman and be able to live forever. No, sir. Once his job is done, he's clocked. That's the end of him. He's a nobody. Anyway. Just some stupid Nazi teacher who believes in the principles of the Fourth Reich
and the final solution of Adolf Hitler and the gods who dictate from Antarctica. All the, whatever, advanced technology, the Wernher von Braun's, the space program, Area 51, MK Ultra, and all the rest of the great things coming out of Germany. Where the people that are in the club in the top door to get in, you're not getting in. And either is your 33 degree Mason father can't get in there. Nor the rest of you. None of them. That last door, that's for the very privileged. But here's one thing they do, just a little thing that's outside school. They all speak fluent German. I told you that before. I told you it was a Nazi thing, and they pride themselves on calling everybody Nazis but them. But in the end, they're the ones who are going to be wearing those uniforms. Oh, they're all over the place. Don't look to status for membership. Membership is given for spiritual status in the satanic hierarchy. So if you're high up in the hierarchy, you're a pretty dim-witted fellow, aren't you? Pretty dim-witted fellow, aren't you? You should slap yourself. If you thought this would be going on forever. Okay, so I can see now, Trish, this is this medium here. This will probably be my last talk here. I think so. Well, it's, you know, I think the Substack is more popular. I think this takes more time to invest in. And but I had things to say about that whole Marilyn Monroe thing and about the way things are going to go down. And even if there's a respite for 1,000 years and, you know, they don't bring about the final solution of the Fourth Reich, which is exactly what they're doing, acting like everyone's a Nazi but them. And even people who are big scholarly people teaching, no, they're not the real Nazis, you know. Okay. All right. Well, that's it for me. I've explained it enough. I say it. Why do I say it? To bother anyone? No. I say it so people will wake up and repent. I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't realize you were, I didn't understand. I thought Satan was God, and now I see I'm wrong, and I see that living a life of materialism can just lead to sorrow and pain anyway. Now, you know, I'd like to repent.
Why do you say it's the last talk here?
Because I think the other one is really just easier. Okay, folks. Love you. Praying for you. What's that?
We don't have a chat there.
The thing about this is you do get a live chat. You do get a live chat. You can chime in and say anything that's on your mind, get prayer or whatever. That's an important thing. But it's a bigger lift.
You should keep it there.
Well, I'm not going to cancel it. It's just that it's not going to be, you know, I'm just trying to cater to where I'm needed. You know what I mean? And, well, that Maryland documentary, that was really something. And any of you, you know, I'm not saying it's the most accurate. It's from one man's research position, one guy's research. But I'd say check it out. I recommend it. You know what I think they did a great job of is getting the flavor of Hollywood and just getting this, the real feel of it down. And it's just really, really strange, the whole thing leading up to now, and, you know, I remember I was all alone writing this silly little thing and sending excerpts of it to Arthur Miller and trying to, you know, I didn't even know what I was looking at. I was looking at some future existence. But the future was a was a revolution of the, basically of the, you know, poor middle class and just regular working people against the establishment, against the elites. So I was writing that. I was writing that already back then. So in a sense, I was, and Marilyn was caught up in it. She had some kind of, you know, love affair going with somebody. I guess there was somebody in there that represented Arthur Miller because he was trying to represent the common man in his plays, you know, especially Death of a Salesman. So it's interesting, huh? How it all goes around. And I will see you next time. Uh-huh.